Welcome to Maritime Magazine. I'm Leslie Lowe. Today, I have a story for you about a piano man. That's him in the background there, although he's not known for his playing. Fred Haynes tunes pianos for other people to play, and he's really, really good at it. But there's something Fred has wanted for many years, something just out of his reach. The question I had is this: what would he do if he got it? Here's Fred's story.
What is that you're playing?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Just a bunch of chords. It's a minor chord and sort of a progression, you know, a minor chord.
Ever play songs when you're done, or do you always just do that?
I don't really. Sometimes, but I don't. I don't feel I'm a great piano player anyway.
No.
Just didn't. Playing the piano doesn't come naturally to me.
But what Fred will admit is this: tuning does come naturally.
Well, I tuned for Dalhousie Music Department, the Rebecca Cohen.
Fred is the go-to guy for performance piano tuning in Halifax.
Scotia Festival Music Room, Maritime Conservatory Music, and CBC.
He travels to PEI as well, and occasionally ekes out time to work on very lucky pianos in private homes in Halifax. But his bread and butter is the city's classical, jazz, and new music performance community.
You're busy.
Very busy. Been that way all my life. Trying to slow down, though. Now, I used to work almost 7 days a week from the beginning of September until the end of April, but I avoid that when I can. And what I'm doing as I go along, after I tune an interval, I'm always checking the thirds.
Today, Fred is in the Macaloni Room at the Dalhousie Arts Center.
I know after so many years, I know how they should sound, but they should... When I get to the last one, all the thirds should sort of progressively get slower as you go down.
Okay, this one's done. Now he's on to the next. Fred doesn't do this alone. It's hard to keep time with his schedule. He may be the busiest guy in piano tuning east of Quebec. He has help from his manager, his wife, Gloria Haynes.
Yeah, each morning I say, you're going to Dell Music Department, you're doing the sculptor court today. You're going to Scotia Festival and doing the music room. You know, I just tell him each morning what he's doing.
Fred and Gloria have been a couple ever since they met in school.
45 years now.
Do you remember what you thought of her?
I thought she was probably cute and very bubbly.
And what did you think the first time you saw him?
Well, I just, right from the moment I heard that there was a guy there from New Brunswick, I just thought that it was going to be, we would be together.
Really? You knew?
I really did. As a young teenager, Fred is... almost 3 years older than I am. And so I just thought that he was going to be the guy for me.
Now, that school where they met, as it happens, was the Halifax School for the Blind.
I developed glaucoma around 1967, and I gradually lost my vision after that.
How long did it take?
Well, it was such a gradual process that I don't really know, because it just seems that when you lose your vision gradually, it just seems that you can see anyway. But I had one eye removed in 1975 and the other one removed in 1990. So definitely at 1990, yeah, I definitely was totally blind.
Today, Gloria has prosthetic eyes, although it's really hard to tell. For Fred, though, it was different.
I lost my vision playing with matches and a gasoline barrel. And I lit a match to look into the gasoline barrel, and it blew up in my face.
And you were how old?
8.
When he was a teenager, Fred moved to Halifax from Woodstock, New Brunswick. He met Gloria at the school, and he was introduced to the profession he would never otherwise have even considered.
I went back in the middle of the year, and the principal said, well, I can't get you into all the courses. So he said, how would you like to fill in some of the time with manual training or piano tuning? And I said, oh, piano tuning sounds great. Try that. So I did it for 6 months, and the piano tuning instructor said, you're a natural, so you should stay on.
To be a natural at tuning the piano, what do you need?
A very good ear for music and the ability to hear the beats and the notes, you know, and it just came to me naturally.
This puts it on, and that puts it automatically to 350.
Okay.
So then with me, when I want to get to 375, I just go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 375.
While Fred's out tuning today, Gloria's at home, doing the thing she does, managing Fred's schedule, taking calls, booking tuning appointments. She types them all using her Brailler.
And my laundry room is messy, I have to tell you. But, I mean, I know with my, okay, with turning on my washing machine.
And she does the housework.
I have to be down here later. With my washing machine, I have these dots that you can get and put on your stove or your washing machine, whatever you might. I don't need it on my stove.
And
but I'm
just little stickers.
Yeah, they're just little, they just stick on. So I know that when I get over to that, this one in particular, it's my normal load.
Yeah.
And
it's not just the laundry. Everything is normal here. Gloria even knits.
Can you explain what you're knitting here?
Okay, right now I'm knitting a pair of mittens. And just using up yarn I have around.
Okay, maybe there are a few tiny giveaways. The chiming clocks in every room, the talking scale.
All right, I will. You go ahead. Okay, so just step on them.
Just step on, that's it?
And they'll tell you what to do.
Please step off. Your weight is 127 pounds.
Oh, you went down a pound.
I like this scale.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's really, really tidy around here.
So I know that it's down here because a blind person, the one thing a blind person does, or we try to do, is keep everything in the exact spot, you know, as close as we can. So I know that my teapot is always there, so I don't have to go feeling around my cupboards and whatnot to make a cup of tea.
That tidiness is something Fred and Gloria's daughter Cindy remembers well.
Things in the house had a particular order. You know, we always, growing up, learned that in the kitchen things belonged in certain places, so my parents knew where things were. And in the house, we were good at keeping things tidy. Maybe we were tidier than other kids were. I guess, you know, that was my way of living, so I didn't really notice that my life was different from other kids, other than the fact that my brother and I took cabs wherever we went. We didn't have parents who drove a car, so, but other than that, I mean, we did tons of things, you know, it didn't hold us back at all.
For years, Fred and Gloria raised their kids and built their business.
I use the tuning hammer, or the tuning fork.
But while Fred tuned pianos, you could say he was also tuning something else.
I hear that's only a couple of beats out, so...
His eyes.
I don't have to. I've had, I think we counted 7 cornea transplants on my left eye.
Yeah.
And the optic nerve had enough and just shut down. So that eye is finished. And I had 4 cornea transplants on the right eye, which I think most of them rejected within a year.
That's how it went for ages. Fred and Gloria waited for transplant opportunities, prepared for surgeries, and Fred underwent the procedures. After everyone, it was almost like a scene from a movie. Off came the bandages, and Fred could see, to varying degrees anyway. But 11 times in a row, it was only a matter of time before his body rejected the transplanted corneas. and Fred's eyesight faded.
Well, after the last cornea transplant, the doctor said, that's it. No more cornea transplants. He said, your eye just will not accept them, and it doesn't heal properly, and it rejects within weeks, so there's no sense in doing any more. And he said, if I do another one, you may lose the eye permanently, so.
But there was one more option. Keratoprosthesis surgery, a plastic prosthetic that replaces scarred or diseased cornea. It's still not a common surgery in Canada, and it's not even performed in the Atlantic region. It also wasn't a guaranteed fix, given the habit Fred's body has of rejecting transplants. And there was the risk that the surgery could damage Fred's remaining eye completely beyond repair. But Fred started looking into the possibility of having it done in Boston.
At first, I was very worried about it because, it was the last resort. So I was, and he could see some, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when it was, he was supposed to go to Boston. He still could see some then. And I didn't want him to lose that, what he already had.
Fred wasn't willing to give up. He found a Montreal doctor who had trained in the U.S. to implant keratoprostheses. The surgery had, to that point, only been done in Canada 3 times.
When he finally got the call to go to Montreal, his vision was down to just light perception. So we were both not blind anyway, so he didn't have much to lose there.
Still, to say the surgery was a gamble, that's an understatement. It's like saying a Steinway is just a piano.
And I can't stress enough, the piano down there is worth $150,000, and to be able to, without any worry, entrust it to him.
Chris Wilcox is the managing and artistic director at Scotia Festival of Music. Remember I mentioned Fred is the go-to guy for the region's performance community? The thing is, in many ways, he's the only guy they'll trust.
My favorite, Anton QWERTY, one of the quirkiest pianists on the planet. I won't go into long Anton QWERTY stories, but back in the days when I played in the Atlantic Symphony, I remember going into a dress rehearsal with Anton, and he had the Steinway at Dell in pieces on the floor. And now, when Anton comes, he knows that Fred's going to look after the piano, so he doesn't go nuts. He just goes in and does his thing. But, the best person to interview about Fred is his cab driver. Because,
he doesn't have one cab driver.
I think he has one pretty... all the cab drivers know him, that's for sure, and they all love him, It's a good business, but also he's a fabulous guy.
With a successful career and a loving family, Fred already has more than many people. So why keep going back again and again for those surgeries? Even his daughter Cindy saw how it was an emotional roller coaster.
I mean, as you know, he's had several cornea transplants over the years, and some of them have been very successful, some of them not successful. Some of them he's gained sight for a few days, and it's always so exciting because, he tries to keep as positive as he can, but when his sight decreases, that he's definitely down and he has to adjust, but he's been fabulous with dealing with those adjustments. Like, I don't know how he's been so strong to do that over the years.
It's a good question. But if there was even the possibility that you could get your sight back, that you could see, what would you do? What would any of us do?
Old pianos, tuning pins are only friction held, so if the tuning pin block is worn out, then... and it won't hold, then, you have problems. So that's usually what makes them difficult to tune.
At 66 years old, Fred made the choice to try to tune his eyes one last time.
Off the 24 hours after surgery.
So can you tell me what that felt like?
Well, it felt great.
was even greater when we went out to we left the doctor's office and went to went back to our friends in Montreal, and on the way home he was reading the license plate numbers of the car ahead of us, and that the doctor, she couldn't believe that even when we saw her the next day, she could hardly believe that he was seeing that much.
And then I guess the worry was that it would go away, but
That's where, you know, like I say, I expected to regain some vision, but after having so many surgeries that I did gain vision and then would lose it within 6 months. But this is now slightly over 3 months, and it hasn't changed. It's exactly the same as it was, I'd say, 2 days after surgery right now. So, and she believes that I'll probably keep it for the rest of my life. So I'm hoping she's right.
Now that Fred can see, and it looks like this time it's not just for a few hours or days or weeks, but for good, he is, as the cliche goes, a changed man. But maybe not in the ways you might think.
But I must say, now that Fred can see, he does the potato peeling, and he does the vegetables, and he does a lot of the cooking now because he enjoys it, and it certainly is a big help to me. Anything he can do for me, he just loves doing it because he knows how simple it is when you can see. Even pouring my coffee, well, I very rarely pour a cup of coffee now because, no, I'll do that for you. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. He just loves to do it.
It is exciting for him to be able to walk to the grocery store and to pick up groceries for my mother. It's exciting for him to be able to help her out in the house. Like, he can't do enough for my mother right now. It's fabulous. It's exciting for him to take my dogs for a walk. Everything is all these tasks that we think, well, these things that we think are tasks, for him it's a pleasure to do. So yeah,
I could get lazy and I could get used to him doing, just expect him to do things, which I don't want to expect him to do things. And
I mean, I remember the first time they went for a walk after he had the surgery, and I was freaking out. I'm like, you didn't tell me, and where did you go, and did you cross the big intersection by yourself, did you look both ways before you crossed? And I was just freaking out. But now, you know, I'm much better. I realize he can see, and they're fine on their own. You know, all of a sudden I've become the parent almost, and I worry about them, but you know, this has just been so great.
No, I'm going down to the practice room area to see what. I don't like to kick the students out, especially this time of year if they're practicing, but if there's a room that's free, I'll check it out and see if it needs to be touched up.
Can I come with you?
Sure.
Okay. What hasn't changed for Fred is piano tuning. He still closes his eyes when he listens, and he still finds it faster to feel around on the inside of the instrument than to look. And he's also still a mammoth in the Halifax music community.
Well, he's an awful lot cheerier, that's for sure. he's able to get around much easier on his own hook.
So we're going to the bottom floor of the Dalhart?
No, the second.
Okay.
Next. The bottom floor is mainly teaching studios.
Okay.
The dungeon.
Before, Fred would have used his cane for this trek, finding his way by tracking how the carpet turns to tile, and by what I notice after he points it out is the amplified hum of the vending machines.
They have a code for every door, but I never remember them.
Now, he can just see the way down.
And
finally we make it to the rehearsal rooms area, a locked cavern of cloistered cubicles.
Fred, did you notice what you just did there?
What's that?
You used your thumb.
To find the...
Yes.
Yeah. That's... You noticed that too.
I did.
Yeah, it's habit. But the funny thing is that I notice when I don't use my thumb and try to put the key in by sight, even though I can see the hole to put it in, my hand isn't coordinated or something. It sort of shakes, you know, a little bit. So I do what you just saw. Out-tuning when I'm going to homes, I can get out of the taxi and walk up to the door without any help and see the doorbell when I get to the door and ring the doorbell, you know. And when I go into the home, I don't need any assistance in finding the piano or taking the front off the piano to lay it down. I can just do it all on my own, everything. And walking over to the grocery store, we always had to wait for someone to come around and say, oh, would you take me to the grocery store or over to the drugstore, whatever we needed. But now I have that freedom to do it on my own and whenever I want to. It's wonderful.
Gloria can't see, and without eyes, she will never be able to. But in a way, now, it's like she can.
I love it. It was so exciting for me. I was as excited for him to have that surgery and regain his sight as if it happened to me.
So I asked Fred a few times what he wanted to see, now that, you know, he could. The pyramids, the Grand Canyon, Machu Picchu?
I suppose I would enjoy those things, but, you know, it's strange today that you see so much on TV. It's almost, I know I have gone to places that I have only seen on TV, and going there in real life, I thought, well, it's not quite as spectacular because you know so much about it before you go, you know. So, no, I don't have any. I'd certainly like to go to a lot of places, but it's a very expensive thing to do today, so I probably won't.
But everything is great, just to be able to walk across the street together, to have a coffee, you know, just to whatever we can do together now, as before we each had to have a guide. So it's just so exciting now to just to be able to do things together.
It's like a whole new life in a way. I mean, in a very simple way, but
yeah. So, and that's it. The simple things are exciting to us, you know, just the simple things.
As Fred gets to work on another piano in this windowless rehearsal space, life is good. Just like it was before. Only now, maybe a little more finely tuned. For Maritime Magazine, I'm Leslie Lowe.
Thanks, Fred. Have a great day.
And I'm Pauline Dakin. Thanks to Leslie for bringing us that story. The simple things, eh? As always, we welcome your thoughts on it or anything else you hear. Call 1-800-565-5463 or email us at marmag@cbc.ca. Now, last week, we promised to bring you some of the feedback we received in response to our documentary, There Was a Boy Named Thomas, There Was a Girl Named Shauna. Reporter Sarah Trainer brought us the story of two parents who'd lost children and how important it was for them to keep the memories of those children alive. Here's a call from our answering machine.
Hello, my name is Ann Ernst. I live in Lunenburg. I listened to the program just now this morning, and I was very touched by the song about Thomas. I've had many losses in my life. My most poignant loss was that of my little sister. She died at 2.5 years. I'm much, much older now, but I've never let her die. I've never forgotten her, and I speak of her when there were 11 in my family, but 10 of us lived. And I always include her. I say 11, and I have a little sister in heaven. And that story this morning, hearing that beautiful story about Thomas, just brought back that memory so strongly. And I find, too, that people, they don't like to hear you speak of someone who has passed on. But it's so comforting, and especially it's comforting when a few people do acknowledge what you have to say and they listen. To me, that's so important. Thank you so much for your beautiful programs. Bye-bye.
And thank you for that call. We also received a number of emails, including this one from Marilyn E. Bruce. And she writes, "Your story about Thomas and Shauna really struck home for me, as I am also a member of that club, which no one wants to belong to. My daughter, Leslie E. Bruce, was killed by accident on December 7th, 2006. The trauma of losing a child leaves a huge scar. It follows us everywhere, and it changes our lives. Moving forward is painful. It is the memories of our child and being able to share them with others that sometimes helps. Just as with songs of love and romance, tragedy can push forth the creativity. A good friend of Leslie's wrote a song about her very shortly after her death. It's called "The World Don't Work," and it's written and produced by David Miles. David included this song on his latest CD, On the Line, which has garnered much success. Probably most people don't realize the history of that song, but I know, and Leslie's friends know, and it is that which we celebrate. Each child is special, and more so in the eyes of their mother and father. To lose one is a tragedy. To live with it is a challenge that never ceases. And that email is signed Marilyn E. Bruce. And thank you very much for writing, Marilyn, and to everyone who wrote to comment on this story. We'll leave you this morning with that song written for Leslie by David Miles, and I'll talk to you again next week.
The world don't work the way that we want. The world don't work the way that we want. You can hope for the best, but be ready for a test. 'Cause the world don't work the way that we want. I lost a good friend only months ago. I lost a good friend only months ago. She was still young, her song was hardly sung. I lost a good friend only months ago. There's so much out there that can tempt you with despair. There's so much that can make you want to cry. But I will not hang my head, I'm gonna sing a song instead. 'Cause there's still one truth that no grief can deny. It's to be loved by somebody, that's what it's all about. To give your love to somebody else. Oh, to be loved by somebody, that's what it's all about. To give your love to somebody else.